100% owned and operated by Shawnee Radio App. They said we couldn't do it, and we did it anyway. The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
Kaboom!
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC, and that's $THCOGIC. You can also go online to our website, that's trueholinesscogic.org, that's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the give icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you can use our online form, or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message. Don't plan to be before you long today. Just want to teach on this subject. And I like the way Real Talk came this morning from the aspect of God being willing. I want to take it today from the approach of being willing to whatever God will have for us to do. My first scripture, let us go over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. And it reads, and I'll be reading all of my scriptures from the King James Version. It reads, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Here am I, then send me. Let us look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." If ye shall be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Now let us go to the New Testament in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Romans 8 and 30. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." And one last passage, staying in the book of Romans, chapter 11. Verse 29, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, seeking your help, seeking your guidance, seeking you to deliver your word on today. For God, I cannot do this alone. I'm helpless, I'm powerless. Therefore, I submit totally unto you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. For you knew who would be here today. You knew who you designed this word for. Now allow me to sit down, Lord, and you stand up in me, that when I speak your word, they hear your voice. When I speak your word, they hear your voice, and you speak directly to them, to their situation, to their matter in life, to the situation that they are going through, in the name of Jesus. God, let the word do the work. And I give you praise, glory, and honor
In Jesus' name, amen. Read for you those passages of scripture, and I want to set context, but today I want to use as a topic, as a subject, old school would know this, because if we've ever been in a church service and somebody gets up and they get ready to sing and they play little instrumentals warming up, and you hear the mothers on the mother's board and on the mother say, "Baby, let the Lord use you." Meaning that they wanted you to submit and give over to the Lord. So today, I want to ask you or say to you, let the Lord use you. Let the Lord use you. Now, when we look at this concept of willingness and being willing, we want us to get an understanding that willingness is really the quality of being willing, which is really, we want to look at it from a noun perspective, but being willing is having willingness, is a verb meaning ready, eager, or prepared to do something. When the Lord calls, are you ready and willing to be used of God? Now, my whole concept today is to let us understand that willingness can lead to blessings, and that willingness requires complete trust and reliance on God. And willingness has us to understand the word let, because I said, let the Lord use you. And let means not to prevent or forbid, but to allow. And what I'm saying is allow the Lord to use you. Allow him to use you. Why? Because you must understand, if God calls you to do something, that means he has chosen you or selected you, and all he wants you to do is to say yes. The reason I took you over to Romans 11 and 29, because I want you to understand the calling. Here it says, for the gifts, the things that God has given you, and the calling of God. If he's called you to do something, he's waiting for you to say yes. The calling of God are without repentance. What does that mean? It means it's irrevocable. It's irrevocable. That means he cannot take it back. How does that apply to willingness? Well, we're going to find that out when we deal with Jonah. Because Jonah was called. And like I said, when God calls you, it's irrevocable. And we will talk about Jonah. We will also talk about David. But I want you to understand that if God has called you to do something, let the Lord use you. It is said, or has been said, that the best ability is availability. The best ability is availability. Are you available? When opportunities are presented by the Lord, are you ready? When God selects or chooses you, are you willing to say, yes, Lord? Or do you make excuses? Because letting is all about being willing. Do we make excuses? Oh, we could come up with some excuses. When we look at those in the Bible, they had all kind of excuses why they didn't want to do what God wanted them to do. But we must understand that if God calls you and chooses you specifically, I'm just going to say it like this, you're going to do it, because that calling is irrevocable. Let's take a look and go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? What we have to understand here is what's going on is we have a divine call by God. A divine call by God. And he's saying, okay, who's going to answer my call? Who's going to be ready? Who's going to really put their complete trust in me? To get an understanding of this, we all have fears, because if we go back up just a few verses in verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Here he began, the prophet began to make excuses. But God had the angel to take a live coal in his hand from off the altar and put it on his mouth and removed his iniquity. What does that mean? If God is going to call you, he is going to prepare you. He's going to make a way. That's why I took you over to Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, to them he also called. And them he called, he justified. He put you positionally righteous, made you right. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That scripture is letting you know that if God has called you to do something, he's already made the way. He's already prepared it. And he's already set you up to be glorified when you do it. When we go back to Isaiah, looking at it, whom shall I send? Who will go? There was nothing asked about that person's skills, his talent, or his ability to do anything except for who will go? Are you available? That's what God was looking for, availability. And he said, yes. He said, yes. Because he understood that I must trust in God. If we look at a man of the Bible by the name of Moses, Moses himself was called, but Moses made excuses. He made excuses. I can't do this because I'm not as eloquent. I stutter. They won't believe me. God had already called him. God had made a way. Finally, he said, yes. Finally, he said, yes. And as we know that when Moses said yes, God did mighty things, miracles, delivered the children of Israel. Moses is in, we talk about him to this day. Why? The blessing that came out of his willingness means that he is known forever. He's known forever. Even when we look at the life of Moses and when he came out, our very basics of leaderships and organizational structure came from Moses, because he took the advice of his father-in-law, Jethro, and said, you can't do this all by yourself. So because Moses was willing, we get all of that. Do you see how your being willing can bless someone else? How your being willing to do what God has called you to do can change the life of someone else? We must be willing. But I know sometimes, you know how we don't want to move and we don't want to do things. We don't want to. Even as little kids, growing up in mom and daddy's house, they ask you to do something, you don't want to do it. But the gifts and the calling of parents is irrevocable. It's irrevocable, because if they call you, and if they call you by your government name, your full name, man, I wanted you to understand that calling is irrevocable. Now, you could either do it when they call you the first time, or you can do it after you realize that that calling is irrevocable. I know some old school folk understand what I'm talking about, but I'm going to make it plain. If we go over and take a look at Jonah chapter 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. Look at the similarities here. In Isaiah, the word of the Lord came unto him. So God called. And he told to Jonah, he said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Oh, now check this out. God called Jonah to do something. And remember, the calling of God is irrevocable. It's irrevocable. And so now we look at Jonah. And in synopsis, Jonah says, no, I'm not doing this. I don't want to go down there. Because he had a beef with the people. He didn't want to do it because he knew that God would help them and deliver them. So he made up in his mind, I'm not going to do that because I don't want the outcome, Lord, that you want. Now, see, now how many of us don't want to do something because we don't want it to work out the way somebody else wanted to work out? They ain't going to do it my way. They ain't doing it. Now, if he told me to go down there and rain down fire and brimstone, I go do that because I want them to be destroyed. But God want me to go back there, preach. I ain't doing that. The calling of God is irrevocable. So here we have Jonah, and he says, I'm going to go. He flees from the presence of God. Now, you don't want to get out of. He runs away, gets in a boat like God don't know where he going, like God can't see him. Like, God don't know where you're going to go. He's like, look, I asked you nicely, but you wouldn't do it. So he gets in the boat. They go through the storm. Everything goes on. The boat's about to be destroyed. So they cast him overboard. And Jonah gets swallowed by the fish. The calling of God is irrevocable. And so now he gets in the fish. And he's there 3 days and three nights. Had a little time to think. Little time to reflect. Little time to cry out to God. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, I'll do it now, Lord. Whatever you say. Why? Because now you're in some pressure situation. Now you're in a position to where, oh, my goodness, God was serious. What's the lesson here from Jonah? Submit or be brought into submission. Submit or be brought into submission. Y'all know how y'all watch the UCF fights and what is already they get them people in a submission hold, and it's like, okay, you gonna cry, uncle? They hold them, and they get tighter and tighter and squeeze, and finally they tap out. Because they realize the situation is hopeless. And Jonah realized that the situation was hopeless. Therefore, he tapped out. And when he gave over and said, Lord, I will do. Lord, I will go. Then fish bit him out on dry land. And he went on his merry way. And he did what God wanted him to do from the beginning. Has God asked you to do something from the beginning and you haven't done it? And you're trying to do what you want to do, and you wonder why the pressure's hot, wonder why you're going through, wonder why things are not going your way. The calling of God is irrevocable. Either you're going to do it because he asked you, or you're going to do it because you were forced to, because it's irrevocable. That's why we must be willing. But I'm going to tell you somebody else. I want us to look at old David. David himself over, if we go over into 1 Samuel chapter 17. I like this. You see, David had been anointed king, but he couldn't say anything. But he went down there, delivered a little lunch to his brothers, and found out that it was a big ruckus going on down there. The giant was out there, and nobody wanted to fight the giant. If we look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. They were afraid when they saw Goliath. And they said in verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? All right. Verse 25, say, if y'all do this and go kill the giant, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get some riches. You're going to get my daughter. And I'm going to make your house free. But nobody, not even the men, wanted to submit and let God use them. They didn't want to let God use them. You remember when I said, if ye shall be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the what? The good of the land. David looked at it and said, well, you going to give me some riches? You going to give me your daughter? You going to set my house free? What's wrong with y'all? This is, as we would say in today's vernacular, that's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. Why? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let the Lord use me. See, because if we understand that when God calls you, he's not calling you to do it. He's calling you to be a vessel that his spirit can work through you to accomplish his will on earth so that people will look, see you, see God, and glorify him, which is in heaven. Let the Lord use you. So David said, well, I'm going to do this thing here. And he did. David said to in verse 32 of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistine. David said to him in verse 34, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. What you scared of? God called you to do something? Moses, oh, I can't speak. God said, I made your mouth. I made you. All I need you to do is do it. All I need you to do is do it. Be willing. Just submit. Submit and watch me work. Watch me do great things. Watch me do great things and watch people just be marveled and amazed. But all I needed to do is say yes. And I called you. And remember, because I called you, either you go, you know, I remember the old commercial. Either you pay me now or you pay me later. You don't want to take care of something on the front end, you pay me now or you pay me later. And guess what? In verse 43 of that same chapter, the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield. But I come to thee, get this, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I'm not coming to you. Hey, Vincent T. Edwards has no clout. But Elohim, El Shaddai, ooh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, that name got some clout. That name got some power. And that's who I come in the name of. Y'all talk about name drop. I'm a name drop today. I'm a name drop today. That's who I'm coming at you with. Because all I ain't got to do nothing but just stand up there and watch God work. And why am I not afraid? Why am I willing to let him use me? Because I've seen what he's done before. I've seen what he's done before. We always say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, why we so quickly forget? When he asks you to go do something, he's just asking you, it's kind of like, can I borrow your car to go down there? Can I borrow your body to go down there and do some things? Can I just work for you, work through you? Oh my goodness. We have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Let the Lord use you. David went on to say this in verse 46. This day will the Lord, see, now this is powerful. The Lord's going to do it. This day, the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, to the wilds of the beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's verse 17. That's verse 46 of chapter 17. Get this. David said, I'm going to let the Lord use me so you can know who he is. I'm going to let the Lord use me so that you will know. It wasn't me, but you will know that there was a God in Israel. Are you ready to be used by the Lord?
Preach, Pastor.
Are you ready to be used by the Lord? We always talking about, oh, but I sure want to, oh, I want to be like this person. I want to be like that person. No. Do you want to be used by the Lord? Because if you want to be used by the Lord, he will use you. Why? Because my Bible tells me that the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. You want to line up? All you got to do is answer the call. And not only did David tell him he was going to do it by the hand of the Lord, he did it. Took his own sword and cut his head off. Let the Lord use you. That's about being willing. So what do I want to say today for my young folk to walk away with this? Don't make excuses. God made you. He knows all about you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Just say yes to the Lord and leave the rest to God. Just say yes to the Lord. Leave the rest to God. What else am I saying? You got to trust him. See, being willing and saying yes is all about trust. It's kind of like you play that game when you were growing up. Close your eyes and we stand on a table and fall backwards and say, catch me. Now, if your friends didn't catch you, we had some problems. We had some problems, but you trusted them. That's all God is saying. I called you, just trust me, because he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then in Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all that heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Trust him. That's what he said. When you let the Lord use you, David went out there, defied. Everybody else was scared because they were looking at themselves. David wasn't afraid because he looked at God. Jonah looked at the outcome, and he didn't want to do it because the outcome was not what he wanted. So he said, I'm not going to do it. God has told somebody, say, I want you to go down there. I ain't doing that because they won't make me the leader. I'm not doing that because they won't put me in charge. God said, I called you to do that. Either you do it this way or you do it the other way. Because when you do it the other way, you're going to tap out. And I'm telling you, what has God called you to do that you're not doing it? And the other thing about letting God use you, you have to rely on God. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. By my spirit. You got to be willing. Here's the thing. Practical application. I ain't doing that. That ain't in my job description. Anybody a supervisor, anybody at work, I ain't doing that. That ain't my job description. They ain't paying me no extra to do that. I'm doing what I need to do. No. That's it. That ain't my job description. Want me to do out here? Want me to stay extra? Not looking at God is asking you to do that to so you can learn a skill, because he done set up another promotion over there where you can get training for free, but you don't want to be willing to learn what somebody has on the table for you for free. You want to have an attitude. It ain't my job description. And then you wonder why you're sitting there and everybody else leading you. Let God use you. Let God use you. Wonder why you won't get a raise. You wonder why you can't get a promotion. Well, it's too much work. I got to stay over a little extra. So what? Look at it. If they're going to get what you get up here, they can never take away from you. Whatever skill you get, they can never take it away from you. Going to give you some real world terms here, young people. It's called value. Value. What value can you add? And if you add value, they will add more value to you. And guess what? The more valuable you become, the more difficult it is to let you go. So when everybody else is being let go because you were willing to learn something that nobody else would learn, you were willing to do something somebody else wouldn't do, they say, well, we got to let this one go, that one go. Oh, but we got to keep this one right here. Now, you may not have been paying, getting paid to do it, but guess what? It got you job security. And then guess what? Another term I want to throw out at you. I told you, add value. Remember this one called leverage. See, being willing can get you some leverage, because once you learn it and nobody else knows it and you get ready to leave, they say, what would it take to keep you? Oh, my goodness. Well, the people I was going to were offering me X amount. But if y'all want to keep me, it's going to cost you this amount. It's a term called leverage. And how do you get that leverage? By being willing, by being submissive. Oh, you want to get some leverage with God? People want to get on you? You say, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm, because they've been willing and obedient. Oh, touch them if you want to. That's some leverage. Y'all don't know who y'all messing with. That's all you got. Y'all don't know who y'all. I'm trying to tell you before you do anything, you just don't know. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So what am I saying, young people? Think real hard. But not only that, think long and hard before you tell God no. Before you tell God no. You see, the key is showing up when nobody else does. Don't get weary in well-doing. Man may not recognize you. Man may not see you. And sometimes it's not intentional that they don't see you. They care. They appreciate you, but sometimes they're human and they may overlook you unintentionally. Don't get an attitude. Keep on pressing. Be persistent, because it doesn't matter what man sees. It matters what God sees. And if God sees you being faithful and humble, he's going to exalt you. And when he exalts you, oh my goodness, they're going to be like, how she got that? How he got that? I've been here all this. How you did it? Let the Lord use you. Understand this. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. You can find that over in 2 Chronicles 20 and 15. Don't worry about it. Just say, Lord, use me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So don't worry about it. Let the Lord use you. I told you there are blessings in it. Think about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who let his Father use him. Even when it got difficult and hard, and he prayed, and he said, Lord, if it be possible, remove this cup. But it wasn't possible, because the calling of God is irrevocable. The calling of God is irrevocable. He called his own son to die on the cross that you and I may have a right to the tree of life. It was irrevocable because if he would have revoked it, we wouldn't be able to be reconciled to God. So it was hard.
Preach, Pastor, preach.
It was hard, but it was irrevocable. And he said, yes, my father. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And because he did it, he sits now on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for I. All power was given to him. Everything. You gotta now get this, Now you want to talk about some blessings in this father-son relationship because he was obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. The father now says, oh, you want to get to me? You got to go through my son. You want to get to me? You got to go through my son. I'm going to make it real. Y'all know how sometimes you're trying to get to the big boss, but I call him the gatekeeper. You got to get through the receptionist. You got to go through all this before you can even get on their calendar. You got to go. And you sometimes you don't like to go through the gatekeeper because you say, can I just make a direct call? Well, by salvation, we can make a direct call. But in order to be able to make a direct call, you got to go through my son to get to me. Oh, and because his calling was irrevocable, that's why we have that privilege today. I'm about done. Oh, Lord, I feel good.
Holy Ghost.
I feel good. I want to tell you one thing. Let the Lord use you. No matter how difficult it may seem, even when you don't understand it, let the Lord use you. My final scripture I want to show to and make this point plain to you comes over from the book of Luke. Luke 19, verse 29 through 35. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethany and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Here Jesus was getting ready to make his triumphal entry into the city. But get this, Jesus said, go into the village over against you, in the which at ye entering ye shall find a colt, wherein never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, check it out, the owners, the one who owned it, control of it, came in them and said unto them, why are you loosing the colt? Today's vernacular, what you doing touching my stuff? What you doing messing with my, that don't belong to you. And they said, the Lord had need of him. And what does the next verse say? And they brought him to Jesus. That owner didn't understand. All he got was a word, the Lord had need of it, and he let the Lord use him. Not only did he let the Lord use him, he let the Lord use his property. It's not his anyway. It was given to him by God, and God can use it as any time. And all he said was tell him that the Lord hath need of it. God has called you, and by his calling you, God is saying to you, I have need of you. So are you going to submit? The Lord is saying, I call you, I chose you. I have need of you. Will you trust me when you don't see the way? Will you trust me? Will you obey? I have need of you. God is saying, let me use you.
For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
100% owned and operated by Shawnee Radio App. They said we couldn't do it, and we did it anyway. The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
Kaboom! Kaboom.